Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Everybody good tonight? You're kind of quiet in this Presbyterian church. Well, I have one contact lens in, so I can see you real good. No, actually, I'm doing that on purpose. I couldn't adjust to the monovision or whatever where they, well, actually, I guess that's what this is. I wear one. But this helps me see far away, and this helps me see up close. So, but if I start looking cross-eyed, you know why. Anyway. So, I got to get myself all fixed here. So, is everybody good?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Pastor Deborah sometimes, you know, you want to play a little bit, but I am approaching a kind of a serious subject. So, anyway, let's open with prayer. I need prayer, and you need prayer, as Pastor Jim always says. And then we're going to address the subject of prayer tonight, so I'm very excited about that. But let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for today. Father, thank you for what you want to do by your Spirit. Father, we're so in awe of you, and truly there is no rival. There is no one that can even compare or even come close. You are God. And so, Father, we thank you for allowing us to come into your very presence. Thank you for allowing us to look into your word and have your word look into our hearts and open us up to you. And Father, we just thank you for everything you're going to do in our midst. Father, we give you honor and glory and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, you guys are kind of spread out. Anybody feel like moving down a little? I don't know. Can we all be friends? Anyway, well, in preparing for this message today, I had a couple other messages, you know, and I started to prepare. Usually, sometimes I have as many as five before I get here. But anyway, I was going a couple different directions. And then as I got into prayer, God just really spoke to my heart that we just really needed to pray today. And a lot of times we talk about prayer and we say, oh, I'll pray for you, sister, and everything. But many times we need to just repent of not praying more. Do you hear me? And especially with the election coming up on Tuesday, I think that's one of the things that was really on my heart. And then as a confirmation, I had prepared the message, and then as a confirmation last night, I got a report that I wasn't thrilled about from one of my adult children, and it just really grieved my heart and set me to my knees and praying. And I had a girlfriend that said, she reminded me of this story that when Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, he was his cousin, was beheaded and they gave Jesus the news, the Bible says he immediately went to teaching and preaching and healing. You know, it's when you get those reports that you're not thrilled about, that looks like the prayer isn't answered yet, and you're having to yet long suffer more, you just feel like kicking some devil butt. And so I'm here to give the devil a black eye today, and we're going to thwart his kingdom. And so don't let him tempt you through the avenue of the flesh to be distracted or bored, or please don't be bored. But you know, texting somebody off on another planet or anything like that. Just really focus, because the devil does not want us to pray. He never wants us to pray or get into God's word. And that's what we're going to do today. And so if you're relatively new to the church, I saw we had a few visitors. You know, I'll apologize to you up front. Hopefully we won't get too crazy. But we just need to pray. Are you guys with me? So the title of my message is Praying for Others. Praying for Others. And that's kind of an emphasis I want to bring today. Well, you know, Jesus first told his disciples how to pray in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. He said, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, Hallowed or holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, provide all our needs, and forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. In other words, forgive us as we forgive others. If you need to forgive someone today, Mark 11:25 says, you know, when you stand praying, forgive. Don't expect to have your needs met if you haven't forgiven. So that's just a sidebar. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Do I hear a hallelujah? For yours is the kingdom and power and glory forever. Amen. So we see a pattern here for prayer. And then he also tells us to pray in the name of Jesus. Now, he was talking to his disciples through, through John 14 through 16, all through there. He was talking to them and trying to prepare them for when he was going to be leaving soon. And they were shocked to find that out and a little bewildered, but he was preparing them and talking to them about the Holy Spirit who would be coming to help them just as he had helped them. And in John 16, verse 23, he said, and in that day, that's today, this day, in that day when he would be leaving, you will ask me nothing. See, they had asked him for everything. They needed taxes. He said, go fishing. They were distraught in the middle of a storm. He would speak to the storm. So he met all their needs as he was with them. And he says, in that day, the day that would be coming, you're going to ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So he has given us throne rights to ask the Father in the name of Jesus so we can receive answered prayer so our joy will be full. Aren't you full of joy when your prayers are answered? When you actually, you know, like Pastor Deborah says, there's sometimes a time span between the amen and the hallelujah when you actually receive the manifestation of that. But he said that when we receive answered prayer, our joy would be full. So God wants us. It's his will that we be full of joy. Do you hear me? I didn't like the report I got last night. And I have to tell you, the devil did kick me down. I was reached out to some of my friends to pray for me, got on my knees. But his mercies are new every morning. And so I got up today, I got ready to kick some devil butt. And sometimes we get kicked down a little bit when we aren't quite to the manifestation of our prayer. But we rise up in the name of Jesus and we continue strong in him and in the power of his might. Are you with me, ladies? So we've been given throne rights to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus and to ask that we might receive. He says to come boldly before his throne. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Don't we need grace? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you think our country needs mercy and grace right now? Do you think we need a little bit of mercy and grace to even know how to vote on Tuesday if you haven't voted already? I mean, we need mercy. We need grace. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. And he says that we can come boldly to his throne. Now, under the old law, they couldn't do that. They had to always go to a priest to make atonement for their sin. But that veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. And his presence was poured out upon us. We are born again of his spirit. And he says, come boldly before his throne. We don't have to back in. We don't have to apologize. We don't have to feel insecure or get someone else to pray for us. Praise God for trusted friends that will pray for you. And we need the power of agreement in our lives. Don't get me wrong. I called on that last night. But we can come boldly before his throne of grace. And there's nothing between us and the Father. Aren't you glad? We just need to do it. Do I hear an amen? We just need to do it. And then we're to ask in faith. And I love this scripture. I almost get teary when I think of this scripture. Because I remember 43 years ago, when I first read this scripture, I was angry. I felt like somebody had hid it from me. And I was starting to learn the truths of the Word of God. And when I found this scripture, I thought, this has been here all this time? This is like too good to be true. I want you to turn there with me. It's going to be on the overheads, but you guys need to get out your Bibles today. We need our Bibles. If you have a device, look it up in your device, that's okay. But there is something sweet about just hearing pages turn, I tell you. But anyway, no condemnation on that. I take notes on my phone. I always hope Pastor knows I'm not texting. But anyway, and 1 John 5, look at this. You got to read this with your own beady little eyeballs. That's what I used to say in children's church when they used to let me preach in there. They don't let me preach in there anymore. Too old. Anyway, let's look at 1 John 5. Let's look at verse 14. Again, this is one of those scriptures that, man, if you will meditate on it, if you will get it in your heart, if you will allow the Holy Spirit to open it up to you, it will absolutely revolutionize your prayer life. Are you with me? And many of you have heard these scriptures before. I am being relatively basic today because I want to get solid on the basics before we pray. We pray to the Father. We pray in the name of Jesus. We come boldly to his throne. Are you with me? And we ask in faith. We're not begging, we're not hoping, we're not insecure about what his will might be in a situation. We come boldly and confidently. Look at 1 John 5, verse 14. Now this is the confidence. Everyone say confidence. Confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, everybody say anything. If we ask anything according to his will, now that's a litmus test right there. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, I just don't feel like he hears us. If you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I just don't feel like he hears me, Pastor Sue. What do your feelings have to do with it, baby girl? It says here, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. And if we know, listen to this language, it's not hoping, begging, pleading. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, because we've asked according to his will, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. Hold your Bibles up if you brought them today. And say, his word is his will. His word is his will. His word is his will. This is his express will written to you. This is his giant love letter that he guarded it with the martyr's blood. He preserved this so we can have it. And most of us have 10 or 20 laying around our house. A nice one on the coffee table that we dust. But we need to read it and see it as his giant love letter to us to tell us his will. This is him speaking to us and saying, I love you. I want to meet all your need. I want you to have joy. So I want to answer your prayer. So his will is his word. His word is his will. So that's why Pastor Deborah and all of us around here emphasize that you take your Bible with you when you come into a place of prayer. And you find out what the word says about what you're praying about. And we're going to share some of that today. But go into that place of prayer. Go into your prayer closet or get away. If you don't have a closet big enough, go in the bathroom and, you know, turn the shower on if you have to. Whatever you have to do to convince people that you need to be by yourself. And open your Bible and let the Holy Spirit show you where, what his will is, what his word says about whatever area that is of your life that you're praying about. And then you could have confidence. Then you have scripture and verse. Then when it isn't quite manifested yet, you haven't got the hallelujah yet, you haven't got the manifestation of what you've asked God for yet, you can go to that verse and say, Father, you said I would be saved and my household. He's part of my household. Whoever it is you're praying about, whatever it is you're praying about, Father, I thank you. You said with Jesus' stripes I was healed. And the Bible says, bring me in remembrance of my word. So that's not presumptuous. He's okay with that. If I tell you I'm going to give you $20 on Saturday, and then you show up on Saturday and say, I'm here for my $20, I can't get mad at you for being presumptuous. I told you I was going to give you that. Are you with me? So God has given us exceedingly precious promises that meet every need of our life, that cover every need of our life. And so when we read it and we find it and we receive it, we believe we receive it. Mark 11:24 says, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you'll have it. And so when we believe that we receive it, and then we have that confident expectation from God that we're going to receive it, that thrills his heart. He's saying, they're believing me. They believe me that I want them to have that. That's faith. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So he likes it for us to ask him for things. Are you with me? Everybody good? So this is a confidence that we have in him that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So sometimes you have to tell your flaky feelings, shut up feelings, you're a lie. You know, that's in your soul realm. One of the messages I was going to do today was about spirit, soul, and body. But your soul realm is where you can get attacked in the area of your emotions, your feelings, your thought life. And that can come under attack. And you can be tempted to doubt. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so you go back to that promise. You go back to what the word says. And you say, Father, I thank you. Doesn't matter what I feel like. I thank you. You promised me, and you're not a man that you can lie. I kind of like that. I don't know. Some old women's lib rises up in me. He's not a man that he can. No. Anyway, sorry. Delete that from the tape. We don't want that to go out. Anyway, are you with me? Are you with me? So. So the Bible tells us to pray for others, but why? Why should we pray for others? I mean, really, it's probably enough going on in your own life just to be praying for you, right? But we're here today, we're going to pray for others. We're going to pray for our country. And there's a principle here that I want you to see. Why God tells us to pray for others. Number one, we're to pray for others because God says to pray. Matthew 9:37-38, he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. God has to look at the harvest every day. He sees the multitudes being ushered into hell every day that need laborers to preach to them, to minister to them. He said, the harvest truly is plentiful. The wheat is ripe unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Some of us need to sign up and say, Lord, I will be one of your laborers. But if you're not quite there yet, you need to at least pray for him to send laborers, but then reach a place of yieldedness in your life that when he says you're one of the laborers, you say, okay, and yield. So he tells us to pray for others. He says to pray the Lord of harvest to send forth laborers unto the harvest. And I'll give you an inside tip. If you're trying really hard to preach to close relatives and they have turned you off and they don't want to hear it, you might not be one of their laborers. Just saying. Sometimes God tells us to pray it, not say it. Sometimes God tells us to walk in love, and they've already heard it, so you don't need to see it, say it every time you see them, and to pray for them and to pray for laborers. I remember my older brother Bill for years. I was his snotty-nosed little sister. What did I have to tell him? But then I started praying for laborers. And he'd show up and he goes, man, this girl at the 7-Eleven, she's just like you. She's a Jesus freak. All you hear is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That was one of my laborers. So we can pray the Lord of harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest, and many times our own harvest, our own family. Are you with me? So number one, God says to pray. That's why we should pray for others and for the harvest. But number two, it's the law of the kingdom. That we invest in the lives of others, that we give of ourselves, not even thinking of our own need. We give of ourselves and we allow him to meet our need. In Job 42:10, it says that the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends, his very flaky friends. God restored all of his losses, and one day he lost everything. His story is just, I mean, if you're in the middle of something, in the middle of a crisis, read about Job and you'll feel better. But he lost everything in one day, even down to nearly his life. But the Lord told the devil he could not take his life. But God restored all of it when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. He had a bad wife before. Yeah, God bless him with a good wife. It says that his daughters were more beautiful than any in the land. God gave him daughters, and he gave his daughters the same as inheritances as his sons. So Job was a good guy. For that day, women didn't get inheritance, but they did under Job. Aren't you glad? But when he prayed for his friends, his situation turned around. When we will pray for others and get our eyes off ourselves, not saying that God won't meet your needs, but many times we're so consumed, so preoccupied with what is going on with our own little world, that if we'll get our eyes off ourselves and onto the needs of others and pray for them, we'll turn around and see our own need met. Are you with me? And it's that kingdom principle. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Number three, the reason why we pray for others is so God can move in their lives and also in world affairs. Now, we've been instructed to pray for world leaders, and that's what one of the things we're going to do today. We're going to pray for world leaders, but he has given us authority. See, many times people say, you know, well, God, if God wanted to do it, he would do it. Many times he's told us what he wants to do, but he operates through this system called faith and believing we receive. And he has given us, according to Genesis 1:26, he's given us authority. He gave us authority over the enemy, over the prince of the powers of the darkness of this world. And what did Adam do? Adam turned around and gave it, that lordship, to the devil. Well, Jesus bought it back. And we're in him, and he's in us, and he's given us authority to take authority over what the enemy is doing in the world and in our own lives. Turn to Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and you'll see it here. I'm not going to do a big thing on spiritual warfare per se, but I did want to at least bring this out, because when we pray, we thwart his kingdom. What I started to say a minute ago is God is God. Yes, he can do anything except violate his own will and his own character, and he can't come against a system he's already set up. In other words, he created us in his image, and we're very godlike in that sense. He's given us a free will. So he can't just make people go to heaven. Do you get it? We're not puppets. He's given us a free will, and he honors it. He's such a gentleman. He honors it to such an extent that if you make the decision that you're going to go to hell forever, hell wasn't created for people. It was created for the devil and his angels. But if you allow him to remain the spiritual lord over your life, then you go where his punishment is. You go with him. Are you with me? So that's why he sent Jesus to provide salvation for the world. And the Bible says he's not willing that any perish. It's not his will that any perish. But he's given us a free will that we have to make that choice. And we have to decide. Are you with me? You guys are kind of quiet today. Are we okay? Do I need to tell some funny stories? I don't know. Anyway, so we have to cooperate with him. It's God and sons. He's given us authority over the planet in the name of Jesus. And he's set it up that he speaks to our hearts. We respond in faith. And because we ask him to move, he then moves. Are you with me? So nothing happens on the planet outside of prayer. We are very important to this system. And you can't just throw up your hands, take on no responsibility, and say, oh, well, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. He wants to do it! Are you with me? And I don't mean this unkindly. Hear me, and please take off your religious ears right now. But many times, when I'm ministering to someone or about to pray with them, and I'm talking about their healing that they need to receive, and they say, oh, Pastor Sue, I know God's going to heal me. I know they don't have it yet. It's still out there. And it will remain like a carrot in front of a donkey. They don't do that anymore. They consider that inhumane. But the little horses and ponies that used to go around in a circle, they would put a carrot like this. And see, they're trying to get the carrot. So they keep walking. But they never get the carrot. Until maybe the end of the ride, they probably give it to them. But I know God's going to heal me. No, he already did. When Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, it is finished. So our part is to believe that we receive. You got to lock and load. Believe that you receive it. And then the Bible says you'll have it. So it's this cooperative thing that he's the head and we're the body and we're all he's got. Poor God. He's not poor. He's amazing. But are you with me? So don't get me wrong. He's still in control. He knows when he's going to wind this thing up. And ultimately, if you read the end of the book, we do win. But till then, the Holy Spirit has been sent. He's on the inside of us. He's the strengthener. He's the comforter. He's the standby. He's the helper. And he's here to help us to be led and to be obedient to God's word and to do what he says do and to ask him to move in certain situations so he can. Are you with me? Everybody good? So just a little bit about spiritual warfare without spending too long. In Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not in your own strength. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles or deceptions of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not your ex. It's not your in-laws. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against princes. This is the hierarchy in the spiritual kingdom of darkness. But we do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And have you caught on that there is a lot of deception in this hour? We can't be deceived. I'm hearing very eloquent speakers say very horrible things. And they've got all the politically correct words. But when you boil it down and you're really hearing, so you're saying that it's okay to kill a baby that's just about to be born. You're saying that's okay and you're saying it's so nice and you look so pretty. That's deception. In this hour, black looks like white. White looks like black. You're the bad guy because you say that certain things are wrong. When the word is very clear. And so we have to be wise, the Bible says, as serpents, harmless as doves. We walk in love. We have a character of peace and grace and mercy toward people. But don't be deceived. Just cut through all the niceness and all the rhetoric and boil it down to what's really been saying, what's being said. Look at the real issue and compare it to God's word and have wisdom. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay. Three people right here were with me. Anyway, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's how we thwart his kingdom. We use the word of God to just do damage in the Spirit. But then look at this. It says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. Praying always. That doesn't mean every minute of every day, except you can be in a prayerful state pretty much every moment. But praying always, there has to be a consistency to your walk where you're praying constantly. You have times and seasons of prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. This was Paul preaching, and we need to have that same boldness. For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I always say we ought to speak boldly. We need to pray that we would speak boldly. The New Living Translation says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you may be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Listen to this, for we are not wrestling against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against all evil spirits in the heavenly places. That's where we're doing warfare when we pray in the name of Jesus. We're stopping things that would hinder God's will from being done in the earth. We're to pray. Are you with me? So I'm praying for world leaders. But who America elects tells us where America is at. Are you with me? And America needs Jesus. The whole world needs Jesus. We're not just so nationalistic we don't care about people from other countries. Oh, absolutely not. But we need wisdom in this hour, and we need to pray for our country, and we need you. We all have family members that don't know Jesus, right? So we're going to pray now. But before we pray as a whole group, I need to know who's maybe come into this place for the first time, or maybe you've just come a couple times. I need to know who maybe has not yet received Jesus. Can we have every head bowed right now? I'll just take a moment. You don't get saved because you're born into a Christian family. You don't get saved because you do a lot of good things. Your own merit, your own works cannot save you. The Bible says that your best works are really just like filthy minstrel rags in the nostrils of God. Because it's dead, vain works. We need a Savior. You need a Savior. You can't get good enough for God. You can't clean yourself up and then be good enough for heaven. That's like trying to get well before you go to the hospital. He says, come just as you are. I will give you a new nature. I will put a new heart within you. I will remove your sin from you as far as the east is from the west, and make you whole and make you pure. We need his purity. We need his righteousness. We need his wholeness. So if that's you today and you know you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, or maybe you've been living far apart from God and you know that you need to come back to him. And so maybe today was a first step coming here and hearing the word, but you really need to give him all of your heart and all of your life. If that's you today, either of those things, maybe you prayed a prayer one time, but you've never walked in it. God wants you to come into a place of surrendering all your heart, all your life, and allowing him to cause you to be that disciple that we talked about, that person that goes on to know him and becomes mature in the things of God. So if that's you today, any of those questions that I asked, if that's you today, I'm going to count to three. Just kind of hit my hand on this Bible. I want you to raise your hand and we'll pray with you. We'll be honored to pray with you. So if you've never made Jesus your Lord, if you've been far away from him, or you've prayed a prayer at one time but haven't walked in it, either of those things, I'm talking to you today. Raise your hand at this time. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. Anyone else? Before we all pray together, and I assume that everyone's got throne rights, we need to get you there. Anybody else? Those two hands. I see you, lovely ladies. Okay, you can put your hands down. We're going to pray together, all together, and then afterwards I'd be honored to talk to you, and we want to give you some materials and things that will help you grow and go on to know the Lord. So let's all pray. Dear Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I give you all of my heart. I give you all of my life. I turn from sin and I turn to you. I live for you now. until you return for me someday. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise God. Let's give a hand for those ladies. Praise God. Please see me after. Please see me after. I want to talk with you. Okay, well, right now, we're just going to pray. I'm not exactly sure how to do this. All that was in me strong was that we need to pray. We really only have a few minutes. But I'll tell you, the Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. And there's definitely more than two of us here today. So we're gonna just kick some devil butt. Is that okay? In the name of Jesus. And so I'm going to lead. I might hand the mic off to a couple of my sisters in leadership here. But we're going to pray. If you want to get on your knees, the Bible says humble yourself. I don't know what works for you. I get on my knees and I get cramps in my arches so I can't get back up. But humble yourself either there in your seat, on your knees, walking, whatever you have to do. We're going to pray. And if this is foreign to you, I ask that you not be offended in any way. You might hear some people around you speaking is that a language? And maybe they've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe they're speaking in unknown tongues, the Bible talks about. And the Bible says that we can pray in the Spirit that way. So don't be offended by that. That's not to be tongues and interpreted as far as a prophecy gift to the church. That's just them in their prayer language. So don't be rattled or confused by that. If you have questions about that, I'll talk to you after and be happy to share the word with you on that. But we're just going to pray right now, okay? In the name of Jesus. Father, we come now in the name of Jesus. Father, we come to you. You said we can come boldly before your throne of grace. So Father, we come before your throne of grace. Father, you said that whatever two agree on earth as touching, it would be done unto you, us, of you the Father. And there's more than two of us here today, Father. We come in agreement. We come to pray. Father, we come to pray on behalf of our nation. Father, you said that if we would call on your name and humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our own wicked ways, that you would hear from heaven, you'd forgive our sins, and you'd heal our land. We pray that you'd heal our land today, Father. There's so much confusion, so much craziness, so much lies being spread, and lies seem like they're truth and truth a lie, and it's just such confusing words going on. Foolish words going on. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray on behalf of our nation. And Father, we look toward the election that's going on Tuesday. And Father, we declare in the name of Jesus that you will move and you will put your person in office. And Father, that we don't look to man, we look to you, but there will be someone that will uphold righteous laws, Father. The judges that they appoint to the Supreme Court, the people that they appoint to different offices will be people that know you or stand for your righteous causes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for our country. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Father, for speaking to the hearts of your people. Father, that they will go to the polls, that they will vote, Father. They will vote according to how you lead them, Father. That they will be led by your Spirit, Father. Not looking necessarily at personalities and all that, but more at what the issues are that we need a righteous standard to be upheld in this country. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. You told us to pray. So we're praying. We're asking you. We're interceding on behalf of a nation, Father, that many in this nation aren't even living for you or are declaring your name at all. Father, we stand in the gap for our country. We stand in the gap for people that are not praying for themselves. Father, we lift up even our own families, Father, the family members that have not totally surrendered their lives to you. Father, we pray for them in the name of Jesus. We ask you to forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Father, forgive them for yielding to lies and fear and allowing their hearts to get hardened and not wanting to serve you. Father, forgive them. Forgive them, Father. Forgive us, for we have sinned in not praying. Forgive us, for we have not been bold to speak speak your word. We've not been the laborers that we should be. Forgive us, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. And Father, heal our families. Heal our land. Do what only you can do, Lord Jesus. We just thank you. I thank you. We thank you for this privilege, Father, to come before your throne, to come boldly before your throne of grace, to find mercy and grace to help in our time of need. Oh, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Thank you for hearing our prayers today. Father, as we humble ourselves before you, thank you for hearing from heaven, Father. Thank you for meeting every need, Father, in our lives, in the lives of our family and our loved ones and our nation as a whole. Thank you, Father. Oh, we thank you. Oh, Rabasendere Brocosa, Lembrondere Shonda, Ibrabandere Broboso, Rengendere Brobosita, Oh, Ramandese. Oh, we humble ourselves, Father. We humble ourselves. Father, Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for everyone that calls upon their your name in our country, Father. Speak to their hearts in this hour that they would live for you. Father, forgive us for the sin that we've yielded to, that we don't live holy lives, Father. Help us to live holy and righteous for you, to be obedient to your word, to do what you've told us to do, Father. Oh, Father, we want to be stronger representatives of the Lord Jesus. Father, we want it when people see us that they'll see Jesus and want what you're doing in our lives, Father. Let our lives speak as a standard to those around us, Father, we pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, rebasete de kososho. Om rebasita da kasete. Oh, ramandesete. Okay, I want you to do something now. I want you to lay your hand on the shoulder of a lady near you. If you're not sitting close to somebody, get closer. We just need to pray for each other. We need to pray for each other. Just put your hand on the shoulder of someone. This isn't weird. There's a principle to touching, that we can transfer anointing. Let's pray as if it were ourselves. Let's pray for our sisters right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for my sister right here on my left, or the one on my right. I pray for my sister right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, help her to serve you. Help her to give you all of her heart. Father, whatever she's holding back, help her to give it completely to you. Father, that place that she's reserving, that she's afraid to totally let you envelop and flood into that area, give her grace to be able to do that, Father. Let her give you all of her heart, all of her life. Father, you're longing for your daughters. You're longing for your children. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that she would begin to seek you first and your kingdom as she never has. Whatever's causing her heart to be hardened, may she repent of that now. If it's a wrong relationship, Father, give her the strength to let it go. If it's a habit that's ensnaring her, she comes to church, she wants to live for you, but then she gets caught up. If it's a habit, a stupid thing in the flesh, give her the ability to cut it off. Don't let it weaken her, Father. Give her the supernatural ability to cut it off. Let it go and come into a new place of glory in you, strength in you, Father. Oh, Father, we pray for the people in her family that don't know you. Maybe the ones that badger her every day. If she's all alone in her family, the only one standing, Father, let her sense your help, the divine help of the Holy Spirit. Give her a good godly sister that she could call out to, as I did last night, and say, I need your help. Pray for me. And to know that sister, no matter what time of day or night, she will pray for her. Father, we repent for our prayerlessness. Father, help us to be women of prayer, that we have friends that will call us, that know we will pray, Father. I pray. Oh, Rabasete. Oh, help us, Father. Help us. We need heaven's help. Oh, Rabasete. Oh, Rikazendere Kosha. Gesandisa Dasa. Oh, Rebebesata. Oh, I thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for meeting every need of this precious sister. Oh, Father, we thank you. 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 Oh, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Oh, Rasete. And then, Father, you said in your word that we're to cast the whole of our care once and for all on you. And that we're to keep our mind, not to be anxious or worried about anything, but to keep our mind set on you. And to think on things that are lovely, full of faith, full of peace. Father, we just lift our hands to you right now and we say thank you. Let's begin to thank him for working in these situations. Thank you for what you're doing in our country. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for this sister that we just prayed for. Thank you for meeting her every need. Oh, we thank you, Father. You're a good God. We worship you. We thank you. We give you honor. We give you glory, Father. You alone are God. You alone are God in heaven, and you alone are God in the earth. We thank you for working, Father. We look to you. We don't look to what we see in the natural, but we look to you, and we thank you that you're working in our country. You're healing our land. You're healing our hearts. You're healing our families. Oh, we thank you, Father. We give you honor. We give you glory. We give you praise. Come on, ladies, let's stand in his presence and thank him. We thank you, Father. You are good. You are good all the time. You are so good. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Come on, thank him, ladies. Come on. We thank you, Father. We thank you by faith. We thank you by faith that you are working, that you are moving. Oh, we thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And the whole church said, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.